another summertime sell-off.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. This is a week when many of the Wall Street crowd have taken vacation. You'd expect things to be quiet. But yesterday, the stock market recorded its biggest drop in 3 weeks. The Dow and the S&P each lost more than 2%. Granted, volume was relatively light, and that tends to exaggerate moves. Still, those losses made for heavy selling in Asia overnight. Markets in Tokyo and Hong Kong were each down 2.5%. There's a lot for investors to fret over. Start with the turmoil in the mortgage market, where the dust is still settling. Consumers have lost confidence, home values are declining, and the outlook for the economy is uncertain. The Dow finished down 280 to 13,041. We had the S&P losing 34 points to 1,432, and the NASDAQ gave back 60 to 2,500. The AFL-CIO is launching a campaign today for universal health care coverage. The Federation, with its 10 million members, wants to influence the national debate in the run-up to the presidential election. But just how big a role can the labor movement play? Jeremy Hobson reports.
AFL-CIO National Healthcare Campaign Director Heather Booth says the AFL-CIO wants healthcare coverage for all Americans by 2009. And the target audience of that message is anyone running for president.
And a key part of this campaign is to make healthcare be a focused domestic issue in this election so that after the election, those who are elected have to actually act.
In fact, the AFL-CIO is looking beyond the current Congress because Booth says there's no chance now for the kind of legislation labor is looking for. But David Berta, editor of Modern Healthcare magazine, says it will be hard for presidential candidates of either party to ignore the AFL-CIO's campaign.
I think it's an important development in the healthcare reform debate, and it'll increase the pressure on the next president to take a more dramatic approach to healthcare reform.
That said, Berta notes he'd be more surprised if labor hadn't come out in favor of universal healthcare. In Washington, I'm Jeremy Hobson for Marketplace.
A mine rescue conference gets underway today in Nashville. It couldn't come at a better time. The collapse of the Crandall Canyon mine in Utah buried 6 miners 4 weeks ago. And in China recently, nearly 200 workers perished when water flooded a coal mine. Janet Babin reports from North Carolina Public Radio.
The U.S. Department of Labor's Mine Safety and Health Administration is hosting the Nashville conference. More than a dozen countries will be represented, including China, home to the world's deadliest mines. Participants will hold a mock rescue competition and review the latest robotic gear. But John Siciliano with Energy Washington Week says the conference should address what's caused safety standards to slacken recently. He says mine operators have rushed to meet an increased demand for coal.
A lot of these mines rely on the actual coal in them to support them, to hold up the ceiling, so to speak. If you're going to try to get more coal out of these mines, then it's going to become a safety concern.
Advances in scrubber technology have made coal-fired power plants cleaner. Utilities have responded by buying more coal. Siciliano predicts that high demand will continue. I'm Janet Babin for Marketplace.
Internet service provider Earthlink is dropping about half its workforce. That's 900 jobs. The company's closing 4 offices to reduce operating cost. Earthlink and its rivals are struggling because dial-up customers are switching to high-speed lines from cable and phone companies.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Reuters, the world's daily news and information source. Before it's news, it's Reuters.
It's been 2 years since the floodwaters of Hurricane Katrina ravaged New Orleans. And recovery for the Big Easy hasn't been easy, to say the least, especially in the city's low-income neighborhoods. But there have been strides in coming back. Sam Eaton reports on success for a small group of businesswomen.
They call themselves the Bells of Bayou Road. Their bright cluster of pastel shops in this largely gutted section of New Orleans can seem like a mirage of the past. But for these women, it's the future that matters.
I'm Yashika Jordan, owner and director of Jordan's Learning Academy. I've been in childcare for 11 years, but this is the first chance that I had after Katrina to open my own business.
Jordan and the 3 other Bells have come to see Katrina as an opportunity, and not because of any help from the government. Pam Thompson owns the Cocoa Hut Caribbean restaurant next door. She says she applied for the Small Business Association's disaster loan program when she was still sleeping on the floor of her flood-damaged restaurant.
But when I send my papers into them, nothing. I never hear from them as of this day for almost 2 years now.
All of the Bells have had to dig into their personal savings to get their businesses off the ground. But Duana Makeba, who opened a natural hair salon on the block, says it was their pooled efforts that paid off.
At one point, there was only one landline. So we all the businesses used the one landline. And then there was just one copy machine. So we all just used the one copy machine.
Much of the post-Katrina aid has gone toward providing housing. But Tim Williamson with the nonprofit Idea Village says that's only part of the solution.
If you can actually start with the entrepreneurs and you can actually build a vibrant business corridor, those entrepreneurs are going to be the catalyst to have other people say, I can move home now. It's a sense that the neighborhood's coming back.
Williamson's group is fostering networks of small-scale entrepreneurs across the city. Less than half of the businesses in New Orleans' poor neighborhoods have returned. That's compared to 94% in the wealthy parts of town. Williamson says pioneers like the Bayou Bells are key to bridging that gap.
Hello. Hi, how are you doing?
All right.
All right.
Vera Warren Williams, who owns the Community Book Center on Bayou Road, says they didn't have a choice. She cites an Ethiopian proverb that says, when spider webs unite, they could tie up a lion. In New Orleans, I'm Sam Eaton for Marketplace.
Sam took photos during his assignment. They're on our website, marketplace.org. Before Katrina, the Port of New Orleans was a popular embarkation point for cruises to the Western Caribbean. Since the storm, a 77% drop in passengers. But the rest of the cruise industry is doing well. A new study shows cruise lines and their passengers spent almost $18 billion in the U.S. during 2006. New York and Hawaii are among the fastest-growing embarkation points. In Los Angeles, I'm Doug Krisner. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.